The Ray Horner Morning Show, on demand on akronnewsnow.com and streaming on WAKR.net.
1590 WAKR, joining us live right now is Josh Stacker. Josh, assistant professor of political science, Kent State University, and a Middle East expert, and really knows what's going on in the country of Egypt. He's joined us with some insight in the past. And Josh, I guess what we're hearing here this morning, they're saying over 200 people have been killed in these violent clashes in Cairo and across that country. What has been happening in the last 24 hours?
Well, actually, the numbers have actually spiked. The Egyptian Health Ministry, within the last 13 minutes, has come out and said that the death toll is now 525.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so basically what happened was the military, and the aerial footage, it looks completely burned out. It looks like a war zone. It looks like they dropped bombs on the area, in Medina Nas in Cairo. But the interesting thing is when they led the crackdown, the military led the crackdown with the security forces, is it triggered a sort of response. So the Muslim Brotherhood attacked churches, across the country. So I think 84 churches have been attacked, as well as government buildings and courthouses. And while we could attribute this to sort of the ongoing sort of sectarian dimension, I think that it's unfortunate, but the churches have actually become more or less a symbol. And I think it's telling that, when they launched a crackdown, they didn't secure these buildings.
Mm-hmm. Josh, a lot of the audience, and we kind of take it for granted that everybody understands what's going on and they've heard us in the past, but a lot of them now, when they see a death toll now over 500, it's registering, oh my goodness, there's something bad happening in Egypt. Go to the base floor on this and build it up to where we are today. How did we get here with Egypt?
Sure. In January, February 2011, a huge popular mobilization and protest happened, in which the protesters physically defeated on the streets the internal security services. And it also paralyzed the elite's decision to respond and peel the protesters out of the streets. The military moved in and dislodged the 29-year incumbent Hosni Mubarak. The military led a disastrous transition filled with a bunch of elections that were mostly free and fair. They changed the constitution. They put in a House of Parliament, both an upper and a lower, and they had presidential elections. In the meantime, the parliaments were dissolved by courts. It led to the election of an Islamist president, Mohamed Morsi. He ruled in a brazenly partisan manner over the past year. And then there's some speculation that the military and the old state kind of reconfigured themselves, had another huge popular mobilization on June 30th of 2012, which led the military to come in, issue an ultimatum to Morsi to step down or call a fair election. Morsi did not call the election. He was deposed in a military coup. He is still being illegally detained. And the military is de facto in charge, even though there is a civilian transitional government.
Okay, so the 500 and so people dead this morning in Egypt are the result of the military fighting back protesters, or lay this out for me.
Okay, oh yeah, sure. So basically, ever since June 30th, there was a huge sit-in of people supporting the Muslim Brotherhood president, Mohamed Morsi. And their remarks were like, this was a free and fair election, this was a real process, and he was dislodged illegally through a military coup d'etat. So they were having a huge sit-in in two big parts of Cairo, but also around the country. This isn't the first time they've been attacked. There's been two previous attacks, but the body counts were like 52 and like 84. So now we've seen a dramatic escalation. So actually what we're talking about is almost since July 3rd, which is the day of the coup, we're getting closer to almost as many people dying that died in the original 18 days against Mubarak. This is the real story of the uprising. It's not one of emancipation or, impending democracy as much as it's been the expansion of state and military violence against Egyptians.
How close is this country to a full-fledged civil war?
I think that that prospect is still pretty far away, in a sense that the violence at this point has been quite measured. In a civil war context like in Syria, there's no real way to stop the violence. Whereas in Egypt, we're still in a stage where the military, issues some sort of crackdown, kills a lot of people, and then pulls back. Right. So we haven't really got to the Syrian stage yet where it's hard to tell who's firing at who, when, and how.
With us this morning is Josh Stacker. Josh is assistant professor of political science at Kent State University, expert on the Middle East and looking at the latest information coming out of Egypt this morning. And you heard him mention just minutes ago, they raised the death toll in Egypt to over 500 folks from those protests at camps from yesterday. That leads me to the United States here, Josh. Where are we sitting here? We have given aid to that country a lot in the past. Are very important when you look at the Middle East region there. What are we going to do, if anything?
It's a very difficult call. So we are obligated to give their military $1.3 billion a year ever since the Camp David Accords were signed in 1979, which is a peace agreement between Israel and Egypt. There was some legal wrangling whenever the military took over on July 3rd, because if it was called a coup d'etat, then legally we are not allowed to provide aid to that country. So the State Department was giving these daily briefings, which were bordering on comic relief, not trying to call this a coup. Finally, the Obama administration came out and said that we have determined that we don't have to make a determination about whether this was a coup or not. So the official policy of the United States government is it wasn't a coup that happened. I don't know. They haven't exactly called it a peaceful transition leadership change, but, I mean, I don't know what else they can call it. Secretary of State Kerry has also come out and said that the military came in to help restore democracy, which is about as far away from reality as one can get without getting into serious George Orwellian terms. So I don't know what the U.S. is going to do now that the death toll is rising. Yesterday, Obama from Martha's Vineyard said that if the military doesn't cease and desist, they were going to cancel the joint military operations, which are called Bright Star, which are supposed to be scheduled for late September. And also, Obama very, very sort of forcefully delayed, not canceled, the delivery of four F-16s to Egypt. But it doesn't really matter because Egypt has well over 200 F-16s. Actually, it has the fourth largest collection of F-16s in the world. So it's not really that big of a hit. So right now, the Obama administration is still trying to bank on continuity rather than really change their policy. But we'll see if that changes as the body count rises.
And this is a tenuous situation here, Josh, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Egypt has been very important to us, important in that region. But the way we support and throw out our support, there's a lot of other eyes in that region keeping an eye on us. And on the other side, we don't want Egypt to really get upset with us on that side as well, correct?
Absolutely. But I think it's a fundamental problem of, like, how we conceive policy in the Middle East. When the questions come up about, like, well, there's going to be a potential conflict here, I mean, the first response is, how should we intervene militarily? And what I'm saying is there might be other options there, humanitarian ways that we can do this. But those options are never considered. But, yeah, there are a lot of allies of ours that are watching, including Israel, including Saudi Arabia. Right now, the status quo powers in the region are very much for what's going on in Egypt, and it's unfortunate, but it's a full-scale counter-revolution ongoing in the Middle East.
Josh, one final question. How similar, and I know you did a talk on this last night, how similar is this situation in Egypt to what we had in Syria?
Right now it's quite different still. I mean, over 100,000 Syrians have died since their uprising began in March of 2011. And, of course, there was no leadership change at the top, so Bashar al-Assad remains in, the president of the country. But I don't think Bashar al-Assad will ever govern that country again. in the way that his father did or even the way that he did. You're looking at the slow disintegration of the Syrian state and the collapse of Syrian society. In Egypt, we're not anywhere close to that. I mean, the generals still show that they have quite a bit of dexterity, that they can move the leaders at the top and change them to kind of, you know, keep the system moving. But, you know, there is an undeniable truth that the longer that this goes on and the longer that the demands of the revolution are unfulfilled, so like more bread, more freedom, more social justice, as long as those demands aren't being filled, what they're being met with actually is more state violence. And that's not actually making the protests go away either. So, I mean, you're at a fundamental crossroads where, you know, the population wants, you know, some sort of revolutionary better life, and the state elites, typified by the military, don't. So it's just a question of how high will this body count go before, you know, basically foreign powers and regional powers start acting right. And I don't think we have an answer for that right now.
All right, Josh, great insight this morning. Thanks for the updated information and getting up with us early. We'll stay in contact with you again. Thanks, Josh.
Anytime. Thank you.
Josh Stacker with us, assistant professor, political science at Kent State University. You heard him mention just moments ago, they raised the death toll in Egypt to 525.
The Ray Horner Morning Show. On air weekdays 6 to 10 on 1590 WAKR. Streaming live on WAKR.net and AkronNewsNow.com. And on demand at AkronNewsNow.com.